Welcome to the Lord Keeper. I am Matthias, and my associate slash co-host is Kimo Sabe. Today we are talking about Darth Nihilus from KOTOR 2, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and he is very special. Kubrick, do you know why he's special?
Is it because he's literally just a floating mask and nothing else? I mean, he looks like he has arms, but he's
why he is special. He is special because he can drain the force from other force users and other living beings.
Oh, you mean like what's her head from Avatar 2? Or then whatever. I'm not going to make that connection.
Like, he can suck the force out of them. He came from the end of the Mandalorian Wars. In the last battle, a weapon was used called the Mass Shadow Generator. And we don't really know much about that, except for it creates something called a Mass Shadow. And it happened on the planet of Malkor V.
What's the Mass Shadow? We don't know what that is?
No, we don't know what that is. Here, let me click the link.
Did it destroy the whole planet or something? Or what did it do?
I want to know more about it. On the planet, and he survived. It killed almost everything on the planet.
It killed almost everything on the planet? So yeah. It's like the nothing from Neverending Story. It was literally just a cloud that brushed over the whole planet and killed everything.
It is a large celestial body. Well, the hyperspace signature of a large celestial body.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, so after that happened, he roamed Malkor V for many years. And he just killed other survivors and drained their force power from them. But his hunger was not sated.
Satiated?
And Darth Treya found him and told him that she could teach him to feed his endless hunger. And Treya used to be a Jedi named Kreia.
Wow, real original name change.
I know, just like Malik and Alec.
Hey, I remember that. When did we talk about that? Was that during our first episode we talked about him?
Yeah. Same creators.
Mm-hmm. It's like Abram and Abraham.
Yeah, Kreia's actually really cool, though. She can, she has three purple lightsabers, and she has force lightning crackling around her. And she uses all three with the force. Like, she doesn't even hold them. She's just controlling them with the force.
Oh, I was about to say, is she like Roronoa Zoro from, what's it called, from One Piece, where he has two swords in one hand and one in his mouth?
No. She just uses the force on all of them.
That's cool. I always wondered if instead of just like, actually wielding a lightsaber, you could just go pew and just make it move with the force.
Like Yondu's arrow?
Yeah, like Yondu's arrow almost. Except it'd be more like, if you can imagine, like, someone did Wingardium Leviosa on a pair of broadswords and then just made them sword fight in the air.
And she also had another apprentice named Darth Sion. Do you know what's special about Darth Sion?
I don't, but I remember who that is. Isn't he the guy that is basically dead, and the only reason why he's not falling apart is because he has an extraordinary amount of unchecked rage?
Yes. The dark side of the Force keeps him alive due to his incredible amount of rage. He has died several times and come back to life just out of sheer willpower.
Right. Yeah, didn't we talk about him in an episode?
No, we haven't had an episode about him.
You might have just sent me the wiki in a DM.
No, I think we tried to make an episode, but for some reason the recording wasn't working.
That might have been what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was Nihilus' relationship with Sion again?
Nihilus and Sion were both the apprentice of Treya at the same time, and once they became masters, they became a triumvirate and the leaders of the Treya Academy on Malachor 5, Treya's Academy on Malachor 5, and Darth Sion and Nihilus defeated Treya as Sion battled her and Nihilus drained her of her force and then set out to purge the galaxy of Jedi, and they essentially did it. There was only a handful of Jedi Masters left.
So this is before the Rule of Two, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Who created the Rule of Two again?
Darth Bane.
That name rings a bell.
He's canon in the Clone Wars. He's in an episode as a Force ghost. He was a human male with black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed almost every Jedi at the time. But there's only a couple left. Sion finally fell because he fell in love with a Jedi and he lost his anger. But we don't talk about that.
Yeah, no, that we'll learn about in a different episode or something.
But this was after Revan, well, after Revan's first part of life, and 3,952 years before the Battle of Yavin, or BBY, there was a Jedi conclave on the planet Qatar, and he just absorbed every drop of force on that planet, save for one woman named Visas Mar.
Hey, Visas, Michael Kirk.
What?
That's what this. What did you say the name was?
Visas Mar.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was reading a text message and I heard Visas, and I had to pull the hey Visas Michael here.
Oh my god. And he trained Visas as
his. Hey, now you can't. Now you can't hear it again without thinking.
He trained Mar as his apprentice.
Who did?
Nihilus trained Mar as his apprentice.
Darn it, I wanted you to say these things again. I'm going to get you to say it one of these days.
Jesus. Okay, so there was, after this, after he purged the Jedi, Nihilus sensed a presence in the Force and sent Mar out to eliminate it. This presence was the same woman who had initiated the mass shadow generator, a former Jedi named Mitra Surik, who was on a quest to find the few remaining Jedi Masters. And she was aided by Darth Treya. Excuse me. And Nihilus was lurking in the fringes of known space, but he was eventually tricked by Treya into starting the Battle of Talos IV in an attempt to absorb a Jedi Academy that lacked any Force sensitives aside from the headmistress.
Wait, so this is before he killed what's her head?
He didn't kill Treya at all.
No, because I thought you said that she was... That, no, wait. And then what was the woman that trained him again? These names are hard to remember.
Treya. trained.
It was the woman that trained him.
Yes. And
he, you said, I thought you said he killed her.
Him and Sion defeated her.
And drained her of her force. That doesn't kill her?
But they just exiled her from the Sith. They didn't kill her.
Well, me and the creators of Avatar have been to have some words. Plagiarism.
So after this, he was assassinated by Surik, and he was weakened when Mar killed herself in order to weaken him, which allowed Surik and Mandalore the Preserver, who came after Mandalore the Ultimate, killed him. And after this, Nihilus imbued his spirit onto his mask and armor. So even though his physical body was dead, he would never die.
Okay, so let's break down Nihilus into a little, or let's do a little bit of a, not a synopsis, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Summary?
But never mind, I can't think of it. Anyway, let's just break his character down a little bit. So one thing that's been typical of crazy force wielders in Star Wars is that some of them have some pretty kooky powers. What are some kooky powers that Nihilus has got?
Okay, so let's go and talk about his powers and abilities. So Nihilus was able to use the powers of Dark Rage, Farsight, which is seeing into the Force.
What's Dark Rage?
Using the dark side of the Force to make yourself very much powerful, but also losing control. Force Lightning, Force Resistance.
What's that?
Scream, Force Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the ability to resist Force powers. So, like...
This guy's just OP!
Yeah. So, like, I say Force Push, and he doesn't get Force Pushed.
Huh.
Something that I'm more interested in is Force Scream, so I'm gonna click on that link. Force Scream was an involuntary force exertion manifested by those whose alignment was with the dark side of the Force. It was a scream of strong frustration, rage, or grief emitted through the Force. Oh, so it's just a scream that all Force users feel.
Because that makes sense.
So, like, he screams, and then everybody with the Force hears it.
So he's like a ring wraith from Lord of the Rings, except it's instead of just the person that has the ring, it's more of everyone feels it.
Yeah.
We'll be making a lot of pop culture references.
And you guys all remember the end of Mandalorian Season 1 when Baby Yoda heals?
He can do that too, I'm assuming.
He has a twisted version of it called Force Healing or Dark Healing. He also knew Sith Alchemy.
What is that?
It's
hard to explain.
That referred to a number of areas under the Sith. It encompassed any power or technique which used the dark side of the Force to permanently alter an item or living being. It is rejected by the Jedi as an act of treason against the Force's will. So, they would often use it to create monsters, I remember now. They would create monsters and all sorts of fun stuff to fight the Jedi and people with.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. It's fun. And he is able to bend tame beasts to his will. Nihilus had black hair. Did I say that?
No, because I assumed that he was just a black mass with with the exclusion of armor, mask, and cloak.
So they came out with a toy one time, and you could take off his mask, and he had black dreads.
I want to make Jamaican jokes, but due to the fact that there is a potential of gaining a listener from Jamaica, I'm not going to make the Jamaica jokes, man. And that's the one that I'm going to make.
Okay. He is able to increase the strength of his force powers greatly, just through willpower, if he wanted to. And he was able to reach through the force as far as the star system.
So, wait, so you're telling me the stupid thing that they do from in not Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, where she peers through the force and grabs the lightsaber out of nowhere is an actual thing?
Yeah.
Why?
So, like, he can say...
That means I have to acknowledge that movie and it's so bad.
If he, like, no, that's The Last Jedi.
That's not only Last Jedi, that's also Rise of Skywalker. That's the last one.
In Rise of Skywalker, she hands it to him.
Yeah, she does it. They do it a couple times.
Yeah, I guess they do. But, like, he can just go, hey, I know this person's force signature. I'm going to force push them from the solar system away.
That just seems overpowered. I want to know who writes these comic books.
No, this was the game.
Oh, this is the game.
Yeah.
So he's not from the comic.
He is from the games and then was later post-instituted into a couple of comics, but not that many.
Because I would play KOTOR, I just don't own the first disc. I own the second disc, but my dad doesn't know where the first disc is.
He's not in KOTOR 1, and you don't need the first game to...
I want to play the first one before I play the second one. It's like Metal Gear Solid. You don't want to play 3 without playing 1 and 2 first, even though technically you could play 3 without having played 1 and 2 because it's free.
It's on Steam? Yeah, it's on Steam.
Matthew, I'm poor. You should know I don't have access to Steam.
Also on your phone for like $10.
Matthew, I'm poor. You should know I don't have access to $10.
$10 on the App Store.
I'm poor. You should know I don't have access to $10.
That's what I'm getting you for Christmas.
KOTOR? Or $10?
I'm giving you $10. We'll let you download an app.
That's never going to happen. They won't let me download it.
I am giving you KOTOR game. I will specifically tell them that this is so he can get KOTOR. Okay.
No, that's not going to work.
This is.
While that would be hilarious and I would play it, it wouldn't be worth it.
It's gonna happen. That's what's gonna happen.
Nah, I feel like even if I did download it, it would be like Assassin's Creed Identity where you think it's gonna be really cool and then it turns out it's just regurgitated missions from Assassin's Creed 2.
It's actually pretty fun. So the stuff that he has is a self-built lightsaber that is very elegant.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean a self-built lightsaber? Aren't they all self-built?
No.
Because, like, they'd either have to be self-built or stolen. Because you don't, like, it's not like you can just walk into Ollivander's lightsaber shop.
Okay.
On Diagon Cantina. Or most Diagon Alley. I don't know. I'm trying to make a Harry Potter joke.
I get it. But during this time, actually, a lot of Sith have just basically manufactured lightsabers.
Like, you're telling me there's like a factory somewhere that makes lightsabers.
Yeah, they'd construct them, and they wouldn't even get to pick their own, like, they wouldn't get to find their own lightsaber crystal. The masters would just have a bunch of people harvest them.
Well, because isn't the lore that the red crystals are, like, broken regular crystals?
The crystals are alive and their will has been shattered.
Right.
Which makes them bleed and turn red. If you purify them, they turn white.
Right.
Which is why Ahsoka has white lightsabers in Rebels. She took the crystals from a couple of Inquisitors. But he had one of the few self-built lightsabers. There's a quote in KOTOR 1, in one of the first boss battles, and the boss says, "If I capture you, they'll give me a lightsaber." Because he doesn't even have a lightsaber yet. He just has a dual-bladed vibroblade.
Which, if you don't know what that is, watch The Mandalorian and you'll find out.
Yeah. They have it in their armors. On their gauntlets.
Well, Mando has one too, but it's not in his gauntlets, in his boot.
Yeah. I think he has both.
He has mine. I don't know.
He wears a distinctive mask instead of armor, and he merged his spirit with that. His robes and armor are black and cover his entire body, aside from his face, which is covered by the mask. Mask is white and it has red markings going over each eye and over each, but the eye holes are empty. It has,
except for two little white dots.
No, there's no white dots.
There's white dots. Look at the picture that you got up on your thing. Oh, little white dots.
There are no white dots in this mask.
Nah, I can see eyeballs. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the KOTOR game cover right now. If you look really closely, you can see eyeballs.
I just see deep black.
Really closely. Oh, crap. Hold on. Look really closely. Any dice?
Deeper black. I see an eye shape, but it's just a darker black. I do not see white dots.
Yeah, no. On your thing, I see white dots. But on this thing, I see just eyeballs. Which you have to look closely. So, do you fight Nihilus in KOTOR?
Yeah, you fight him in the end.
Do you beat him?
Yes.
So, how do you manage to kill an unstoppable god like Nihilus?
You destroy his body, and that's when he puts his spirit in his mask and armor, and then you lock him on Korriban, the Sith homeworld.
What's it called? What's the place that they discover in Rise of Skywalker?
Not Korriban.
I know, but I thought that was the Sith homeworld. Exegol, that's the name.
Yeah, it's an old Sith world, but Korriban is like the true Sith world, homeworld.
Okay.
But if you put on his mask and armor, his spirit will take over your body and he will rise again.
So it's like, what's it called? Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need all these pop culture items to stop plagiarizing the old Republic
piece of
games and comics.
So yeah, he would regularly devour entire worlds. And anyone who is in contact with him for long enough would die.
We need to pick a new concept or character in the future that's not Sith and or a bad guy.
Okay.
Because we talked about, check out our shameless plug real quick. Check out our other episodes on the website that you picked it off of. We have an episode on Darth Revan.
And we have a filler episode.
And then we have a filler episode where we talk about some of the stuff from the recent season of Mando. And we talked about some other stuff like zombies. Let us know in the comments if there's anything you want us to talk about.
So here's this. There's something special you can do if you look in the show notes, people at home. And you go into the description. I know because I checked it on Apple Podcasts. You can go to the episode webpage and you can click a link that lets you leave us a message, and I can play that while we are recording, and we can respond to your message on the podcast. So
Which
please.
would be pretty cool, in my opinion.
It's basically a voicemail.
Yeah, leave us a whatever it's called, leave us a fake voicemail.
Leave us a voice message.
And we'll try and play that in the next episode. We try to create these episodes ahead of time. We're gonna try and release what, every Saturday? Because that's the day after the new episodes of Mando come out, so if y'all want us to talk about those, we can. Or we can talk about something else. Just let us know what y'all want to hear in the comments.
We're not recording this episode on a Saturday specifically, so we don't know what happened to any what will be yesterday's episode, but it's gonna come out on Saturday. Today was less tangential.
That's good. I think that we're working on that because it was only our third, what, third episode?
It's our third episode. Darth Nihilus's mask. Have you ever seen Spirited Away?
Spirit, seen what?
Spirited Away?
Spirited Away, you mean the Studio Ghibli film?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it, unfortunately.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
I'm not as a Studio Ghibli fan. Because my sister, she watched a lot of them when I was younger. Like she named her dog Ponyo.
So, you know No Face?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's kind of like what he looks like a little bit.
Nihilus's mask was directly based off of No Face. Like, in a quote, the creator of Nihilus, like, who drew him out the first time, said
That's
that.
where he got the idea.
No, he said that he was given orders to create it based off of No Face.
I didn't think that film was older than KOTOR. Because I've seen that film. Because I think they're all like Japanese versions of American films, like Ponyo. That one is the Japanese version of Little Mermaid.
Of what?
The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Or something like that. I don't remember. I remember my sister telling me something about that. She's a huge weeb. She still is. But in case you have not guessed, I am not a weeb.
Hey, don't be offensive to some of the people that might listen to us. I don't know.
Oh, well, it's not like weeb is a derogatory term anymore.
I mean, you're saying it like it is, but
I am not currently, nor have I been, a fan of most diffused Japanese culture, including sushi. However, if you are, good for you, doesn't mean I have to like it.
So here's a quote from the game that comes after Mara kills herself. And this is coming from Mandalore the Preserver and the exiled Jedi Surik. Starting with Preserver, her death was worthy of a Mandalorian. And then Surik replies, she did not die a fool or a coward, so be silent. Basically dissing Mandalorians right there.
Correct, Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Because we started talking about Mandalorian and all that. Are all foundlings not Mandalorian?
All foundlings are not of Mandalorian birth.
So does that mean like all of the people that are a part of the Mandalorian Confederation or whatnot the Children of the Watch. They're all foundlings?
No. There is a child of Tarvisla in there, and Pre Vizsla, was in Death Watch, and he was just of Mandalorian birth.
Other than that, are they all foundlings or no?
No. You can be a foundling or of Mandalorian birth.
The thing I find it kind of redundant because they want to go back to the original ways of the Mandalore, but at the same time, they allow non-Mandalorians to become foundlings. I think that's kind
of... The original way of the Mandalorian was that anyone can be a Mandalorian so long as they choose the lifestyle.
Which is, if you've seen the show, not taking your helmet off, not breaking promises.
It has to be a choice to be a part of the culture and be raised in that culture. Like, you have to...
It's kind of like Bushido, if you couldn't take your samurai helmet off. Yeah. And if you did, you could just never put it back on again. And you'd kind of be disgraced if you did.
Basically samurai.
Yeah. Which wouldn't be the first time Star Wars or anything from Japanese culture. It's pretty cool. What?
It wouldn't be the first time that Star Wars referred to Japanese culture, no.
It wouldn't be the first time any pop culture is referred to Japanese culture. Like, what's it called? The name of the show escapes me, but I'm not going to look it up right now.
Leave us a message. I think that's all we really have to talk about, unless you want to add anything.
Let us know in the comments what you want us to talk about, what you want to hear. I'm clueless, so it's most likely just going to be me asking Matthias questions.
Yes, I'm the Legends expert here.
Mm-hmm. Whereas if you ask me questions on the movies, I got you. But if it's anything other than those films and the little bit of underlying plot behind the film, then I am in the dark.
You know, a lightsaber prop went to space, like real space.
No, I didn't know that. That's cool.
They put it on a space shuttle.
Because everyone knows the space program's dedication to Star Wars is uncanny.
I can't wait until they figure out a way to make Star Wars spaceships real. It's like
physically impossible.
For Earth, it is. And not colonize the moon and, like, we build it on the moon.
Like, if the physics of actual Star Wars are kind of shoddy. Like, if you want realistic space physics in a...
No, we're not going to get hyperspace because that's...
Yeah, no, that's physically impossible. You blow up. But anyway.
No, it would just be impossible. It's impossible to go the speed of light.
Even if it was not impossible, your head would explode. It would pop over the sheer force of pressure.
Occupational hazard. But, like, I can't wait until they're able to, like, if we colonize an area that has a lower amount of gravity or a smaller atmosphere or something like that, where the ship can get off, I feel like it would be cool to make something like the Millennium Falcon or an X-Wing.
You technically could build it to be functional per se,
but you wouldn't need
however it. The physics wouldn't work like it does in Star Wars. If you want a show or a film that has legitimate, accurate, somewhat accurate space physics, watch Ender's Game.
I read the Ender's Game books.
I want to watch the films because they have Harrison Ford in it. Harrison Ford is daddy, but I'm kidding.
I thought they only had one movie for it.
No, they only have one Ender's Game film, but I have only seen bits and pieces.
Oh, I've seen it. It's really good. But have you read the books?
No. Should I read the books first?
I didn't, but that's because I didn't know there was books. Like, I read the books years later, and then I realized, oh, this is that movie that we watched one time, Dad. But I can loan them to you.
Hold on. My mom is finalizing Christmas lists, and I'm trying to throw portable ops on there.
Actually, I have it right here. I have the box set right here. Let me grab it real quick.
You have the box set of what?
Ender's Game.
Oh, cool.
It's on my bookshelf. I also have a book right next to the set called 1,000 Years of Irish Poetry. You'd probably like that.
1,000 what of added poetry?
1,000 years of Irish poetry.
Oh, Irish poetry. I do the accent, but I don't want to screw up the chance of having any Irish listeners.
You have a really good Irish accent, actually. I don't think you can
do anyone. Well, I know one way I could get away with doing an Irish accent is if I said frick to Mayweather's, but other than that, I don't know.
Wait, do it?
Nah, we're not gonna do it. Well, because you remember the really big Conor McGregor, whatever his name is, Mayweather fight? There was a really big fight with an Irish boxer named Conor McGregor, and I don't remember if he lost or not, but it's basically become a custom greeting in Ireland. Like, you could just walk up to someone and go, "A top of the morning, frick them A-letters," that kind of thing.
Here is Ender's Game. Now let me turn this off.
Is that a DVD or is that the book?
Book.
Ah. Are we still recording?
Yeah. This is... All
right, cut that out of there, then.
No, we went tangential. It's fine.
No, just cut this part of the conversation we're having right now out.
No, we went tangential, it's fine.
I know, but whatever.
So here's Ender's Game and Speaker of the Dead, or the Dead. It's actually been a while since I looked at these. Then we have Xenocide. You're not looking.
Oh, sorry, I was sending my mom a text message. Xenocide. Are these all books that you have, or are they all part of Ender's Game?
These are all... So, Ender's Game is the first book in the series, and then there's three others. And then the final one is called Children of the Mind. It gets really, like, complicated as all... really sci-fi books do. But I'd recommend it to anybody who listens to this podcast because nothing's more confusing than Star Wars Legends. Mm-hmm. One time Han Solo bought Princess Leia, the entire planet of Dathomir as a courting gift.
How did Han ever get that much money?
No one wanted the planet. Oh. It has witches on it.
Oh, Dathomir. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've only seen bits and pieces of the Clone Wars. It's probably in my best interest if I finish.
It's also in the game Fallen Order.
It's in Fallen Order? Yeah. I haven't finished Fallen Order either. I just don't like its play style. It plays like Dark Souls or what's it? Sekiro.
And I can't wait until I start my
Dark Souls, man.
I start playing Miles Morales Spider-Man tonight. Or tomorrow.
Maybe. If you had an Xbox, I'd probably sell you Fallen Order. Because I don't know.
I already have Fallen Order.
It's not a horrible game or a horrible concept. First thing first, is it canon?
First thing first is the what?
Is Fallen Order canon?
Edition. Custom lightsaber or whatever it is.
Is it canon?
Oh yeah, it's canon.
Fallen Order is canon?
Yeah. It's like a little self-contained story.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to play the rest of it, but here.
Yeah, you don't have the entire Star Wars canon yet. You haven't played it. Or watched
it. I didn't know that it was important because it's PBY.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't remember the acronym you gave me. Just pre-battle of Yavin.
Oh. BBY.
BBY, before Battle of Yavin. Yavin.
Potato, potato, potato. Okay, bye, people. Bye.